B-Pod Studios.
This is not a time to play chicken anymore. You've missed the 4th of July coming back, which was a golden opportunity. You've given up what seems like at least a month worth of games right now because neither side has done this, which they could have done 2 months ago having these discussions. But the reality is, right now, we're getting closer to knowing when baseball is going to come back.
985 Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and that is Jeff Passan. Of course, Major League Baseball spinning their wheels. Yesterday, Rob Manfred said it's 100% that they're coming back, but then really offered no real solution other than, well, if the players don't want it, we're going to force it on you. And we're going to put the 50 games out there, or 48 games, I think is what the official number would be if it ended up having to go that course.
Manfred wasn't he was very noncommittal about the actual number of games last night, but he said under no circumstances is there not going to be a season. If these two idiotic sides can't get out of their own way, then I'm just going to step in and force people to get going here.
Yeah. So, I mean, once again, you're looking at a situation where nobody wants to budge. Nobody's going one way or the other. People are losing interest. But at least they had a plan. And as I said before, the NHL is frustrating me because every league's got a plan in place except for the NHL. They don't even know where they're going to play. And there's no excuse for that they haven't been able to figure it out up to this point. And you can't use the Canada example because the Raptors, they're in the NBA. They've got no problem. They're able to travel. I don't get why there is such little foresight on behalf of the NHL to where they didn't have at least a plan A and a plan B ready to go. And if plan A wasn't ready immediately, they would go to plan B. And I know you're going to get hockey, but the longer they spin their wheels, these things, as we know, take a while to start up. Now, the one thing with the NBA, which John, have I been foreshadowing this for a while now? I'm happy as hell the NBA is coming back, but being trapped in one spot, even if you're Dan Roach and it's at Disney World for 3 months, dude, that's a big ask.
Yeah,
without being able to leave. Mm-hmm. And I keep comparing it to when this quarantine started. I think that when the whole stay at home order, whatever it was,
in mid March. Yes.
It was right around the same. It was right before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And think about that. That's less than 3 months from now, from right now. Think about how this has seemed like a lifetime.
Yeah.
So what you've got is that if you are an NBA player and you're somebody that isn't even going to go far in the playoffs, you're just someone who has to go down there, do your several weeks of warm-ups, you have to do your regular season of 8 games, your round robin to get in, and then let's say you're out in the first round. You're not one of the better teams. That's still over 2 months of you being away from anybody and not having any family be able to see you, and also looking around at the rest of the world, including at the Disney World Resort. The world is normal. Not normal, but pretty damn close to normal. Like, people are able to go to restaurants. They're going to be able to go to Disney World. They're going to be able – right next to you. You're going to see on your way to when you are quarantined away from your family and have to live in this quote-unquote bubble, you're going to see families worth of people going with their relatives to go ride roller coasters.
I don't think that's the jealousy part of it. I don't think
– it's not
look
jealousy.
At that family going to go see – going to go
it's
ride
not
Peter
jealousy.
Pan.
It's being frustrated that you're stuck in a bubble while the rest of the world is not.
Well, Rich,
I know that they have to do this to play, but they're human at the same time.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, you're not walking in there. You're not going to be blindsided later on. Hey, I'm still trapped. I mean, you're walking in there with your eyes open. And another story that kind of came up last night is that there are 40 or 50 NBA players that are participating on a conference call and thinking, okay, this is a little dangerous. We don't want to go. And what the NBA is working on is a plan saying, okay, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go, and you won't be punished for not going. So that offer is out there. And if you take the offer, great. You stay home, you can be with your family, and as things open up, you can go and come and go as you please. But if you want to play basketball, which, by the way, you're being paid to do, and it's what you're good at, if you're going to go play basketball, you know the risks and the limitations going in.
But the main thing that I'm thinking about is guys who are on the 7, 8, and 9 seeds thinking, man, it's not even worth it. We're not going to win a championship. So if I'm a star player, like as you said, I know Damian Lillard's kind of flip-flopped, but I wonder if any of them are just going to say, I'm not going to play. And I also believe that now, the more I think about it, you're going to get a lot more players who are going to sneak out. And they, according to the rules, you leave the complex, you have to quarantine for 10 days, and you could be out for an entire series. And I just see it happening. I see it being 2.5 months of, like, let's say, okay, let's say you're a team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's say you're the Celtics, you made the Eastern Conference Finals, but you have a friend who just got bounced. All your buddies are around you because 22 teams are going to be down in Disney World hanging out. You're going to see each other. It's going to be fun. And you're going to want to spend time with some of your friends you might not normally would have been able to hang out with. And they're done. So they can go and they can go to clubs and do all that. You're telling me that there isn't going to be a temptation on some of these teams to try to, hey, for just one night, let's go down the street and let's go get a couple of drinks. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen it's going to be more than one player. I'd say your over-under is probably two players that it's going to happen with, that they're going to get busted and have to sit out for the rest of the playoffs. Will it happen with the Lakers? No. Will it happen with the starting lineup of the Lakers? No, it probably won't. Will it happen with the Bucks? No. There are teams that realize that there is a lot on the line. Will it happen with someone from the Jazz or the Thunder? Yeah. Maybe.
Just see Grayson Allen partying in downtown Orlando.
Sure.
And you figure, all right, that jackass, sure. That makes all the sense in the world. But, Rich, more to your point, this is a real test of not only the leadership in the clubhouse and in the locker room among the 4, 5, and 6 seeds that are out there, but it's also a test of the coaching. And you brought up Miami, and Eric Spoelstra is a very good head coach, and I wouldn't expect a lot of his players to stray, because he will have them believing that they have a legit chance. We've argued over and over again, and we've talked about it with the Bankroll Boys and others, that this is a real chance for one of those 4, 5, or 6 seeds to make a run. If they have a young team and a good head coach, considering everyone's been idle for 3 months and is probably not an even playing field coming back, they really might have a shot. And it falls on the coaches, like Brad Stevens, like Eric Spoelstra, Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City. I mean, it falls on these guys to get everybody in line and get these guys focused on what they have to do in order to win. More now than ever before, because, coaches can always say, I don't know, I can't control what the players do when they leave the clubhouse. Now you do control what the players are focused on and what they're doing when they leave the locker room. They're still around. They're in the very resort you're staying at. And you have to keep track of them, because in a situation like this, when maybe you have a playoff series, if you're a 4 team and you're facing the 5 seed, maybe you have a playoff series, a best of 7. And if you lose a key player for that 7-game series, or at least the first 5 games of it, you're screwed. So it falls on the coaches, it falls on the leadership, and fortunately for the Celtics, I think they have a lot of both, so this will not hurt them all that much.
Stupid NHL. Just pisses me off.
Yes.
I mean, I think the final straw was? It was twofold yesterday. It was, number one, seeing that picture of Marchand and Patrice out there, and it's almost like they're telling the league, dude, we're ready. Like, we're here. Yeah. We're working out. We're ready to go. And that was the first, nail in the coffin. The second thing that really pissed me off was that soccer's got it so together.
You know,
like,
what?
They're ready to go. I even watched a clip of, Bruce Arena, right?
Like, yes, he's the new head coach of the Revolution.
He's the new head coach, who obviously supposedly a very good coach. But I saw him, like, bragging about how, yeah, we're first. It's a pretty big plus. And I'm just like,
yeah, no, that he's well aware. Bruce Arena's been around a long time. He's well aware of how that's sticking into other leagues. He's
NHL,
well aware.
Listen to this. You've got a coach in the MLS who's basically just like taking his pants off and taking a dump on your front yard. Are you going to take that?
You have to hope.
Are you going to take that? Like,
the NHL has some kind of deal done and they haven't publicized it or leaked it. Although why they would keep from publicizing or leaking it is beyond me. But that's what you have to hope at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's what I'm talking about. Here, thanks, Mike. Here's Bruce Arena just rubbing it in everyone's
face.
Well,
getting back first is certainly going to catch a lot of eyeballs. And, you know, we're excited by that. The support by Disney and ESPN is tremendous. I think all the games are going to be live on national television. Some interesting times, 9 Eastern Standard Time in the morning, 9 a.m., and I believe 8 p.m. and 10:30 at night. So we're capable of attracting audiences from all over the country as well as different parts of the world. So it should be a big plus of Major League Soccer.
It's the scene from Me, Myself, and Irene when Jim Carrey just goes over to his neighbor's yard and puts a big old steamer right there in the front yard. That's Bruce Arena to NHL going, hey, I know you think you're all big and you're all, you know, listen, oh, NHL, we're soccer.
That's right.
And we
more
kicked
people
your
are
going
to be watching us than watching you. Congratulations.
Yes. I mean, good for some. My respect level for the MLS has gone through the roof over the. I mean, let's be realistic. It's gone up a little bit. But this is, I mean, it's phenomenal. They've been able to figure out. NBA has been able to figure out. Baseball, just because the contracts, they can't get out of their own damn way and they suck. But at least once they agree, they've got the plan ready to go. NFL's still got their plan ready to go. NHL's the only one. You've had 3 months to figure this out. And you haven't figured it out. You don't even have a place you're going to do it yet.
I choose to believe that Marchand and Bergeron would not step back on the ice unless they knew something was close. We keep talking about Chara. I mean, I know you love to drive, Rich, but I'm a guy who can last maybe 5 or 6 hours in the car with my kids, and then I'm done for the day. So Dano Chara took 3 kids, ages 11 and under, and his wife, packed them in the car, and drove them from Florida to Massachusetts to start working out again. I don't think he would have done that unless he was assured that something was close to being done.
Well, all right. Well, Or they're yelling stuff.
Or they're just
saying
yelling
things.
Stuff. Right, right.
Which would you put it past the NHL that they're just saying things?
No.
Be ready.
No, they're wildly unorganized. No, I agree. they've had their problems over, say, the last 35 years. But, yeah, you're right.
Just because they haven't said anything doesn't mean they don't have a plan.
Yeah, that's... It's exactly right. Thank you, Fred. You're backing up my point.
Well, okay. Right. Well, at what point do you panic then, Fred? Like, how much longer do we wait?
A couple weeks. Maybe the end of next week.
3 weeks of warming up, 2 weeks of quarantining, and then we start, you know, September, second week of September, so that'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah, you get, well, no, 2 weeks of quarantine, and then you're, then that's July, 3 weeks of, and then that's, mid-July.
But then you wait 2 more weeks, and so you are starting... Because the NBA had to wait till July 31st. There's no way that if you wait 2 weeks from now to say word go, that they can start then. So you're honestly looking at the end of August. Like, you're looking at Labor Day for the NHL to start if you wait 2 more weeks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're looking at the end of August.
Which means the Stanley Cup playoffs are done December.
End of October. Beginning of
no,
October.
You can't do the Stanley Cup. You can't do all of that in 2 months.
No, they're going to be back-to-back. There's got to be back-to-backs in there if they start that late.
Well, yeah. You also got to have the play-in game they're talking about, the whole round-robin
thing. They're going to condense the playoffs, and I understand hockey takes a tremendous physical toll, but if you want to get things done and actually have an 82-game season next year, you got to close up the playoffs a little bit.
Yeah. Injury Fest 2000. Okay,
yes, that's correct. Hamstrings and groins to start, and then major physical damage after they start playing games.
I guess my point is there's no excuse for them to not have this ready to go right now. Now there's no excuse. And the fact that they're still dragging their feet, and I believe you, there is going to be hockey. I know there is. But it's infuriating that they didn't have something ready to go by now.
It is indeed. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5. Kutcher and Rich.
And rounding out their team tonight, the Tony-winning and Emmy-winning host of the Late Late Show, Mr. James Corden! Well, if you played football in London...
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and that is the sound of a giddy musical performer standing next to Rob Gronkowski. If he won an Emmy for late night television, that just shows you where late night television is. in a pecking order because it can't be for something else. I can see that he's won a Tony. That I get because he is in musical theater.
Mr. James Corden!
I'm married with a child. Oh, I love it.
So, Rob Gronkowski. Now, what is this thing called? Like, hey, everybody, there's some holes?
Okay, it's called Game On. There's holes. That's what you call it. That's what truckers call the Flying J.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, everybody, there's some holes.
Yeah, there's holes. No, do what you like. Now,
just go to the stall and close your eyes.
All right, so how does this game work?
You know what? I've watched three episodes and I'm still not quite sure. So Rob Gronkowski is on one team. Venus Williams is on the other team. And there are a comedian with each of them to bring the yucks. I do like Bobby Lee. He is with Gronkowski's team. And I forget the name of the other guy. He's okay. But then there's a celebrity teammate each week. And one week it was, Ronda Rousey, and then there was another. Like yesterday was Landon Donovan, who I don't think really said a word. He just showed up and was like,
"What the hell is going on?"
Yeah, he's known for his, his affability. Landon Donovan,
sure. I mean, great soccer player. I'm not sure if he's really good at being a guest on any kind of show, but he was there. And then they do these like wacky sports things together, and they get points for doing it, but. One thing, Fred, that I know you've been waiting for, because there were clips of this that hit the internet several months ago because they had to film it back in, I think, January or December. And that is where there was a challenge in which Rob Gronkowski and Venus Williams had to compete against each other as Laker girls for the Lakers, okay? Mm. Rob Gronkowski's out there, and also one of the comedians is with them too. And so they have to compete. So this clip right here is Rob on his own getting ready to do his dance, but somebody shows up to support him. Let's take a listen.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Hey, guys. You can put that ball down. You're not going to be needing that tonight.
Whoa. What do you mean?
Well, you're going to be doing this. 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's what we're doing?
You're doing that tonight at halftime on the Staples Center floor.
Let's do it. I hope you girls can handle this, though.
We're ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Let's go. I don't think I can do this. Hey.
Yes, you can. You can do this.
James? What are you doing here?
I never leave a teammate out on his own.
It's almost game time.
Shh. It's not game time. It's bounce time.
Okay, yes. So at that point, James Corden once again puts his finger on Rob Gronkowski's lips as if to shush him. And then
yes, he says, it's not game time. It's time to relax.
That's right. So
let your muscles.
I think this is a throw me in the briar patch situation for James Corden, isn't it?
Oh, really? You think so?
I just think that it was like a chance to perform.
Like a girl and be with Gronkowski, my wife, who I love, will be very, very pleased.
Can I also do one day more from Les Miserables?
Well, I mean, you could easily watch Cats or I'm Riggedy Diggity Doo or whatever.
Get ready,
else.
I will follow it up with the music of the night from The Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Now, an Andrew Lloyd Webber medley.
Now, you'll notice he's very tall and muscular, and I'm short and fat. Joke, right? You
That's
notice?
Right. So they go out and
my wife is in the audience. Look, I'm in drag.
They go out and do their dance, and here's how it goes.
James, what are you doing here?
I never leave a teammate out on his own.
It's almost game time.
Shh. It's not game time. It's bounce time.
Yes! Let's crush this loser! Come on!
You know, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of things in my career, but I got to tell you, I'll never forget tonight.
I'll never forget tonight either, James.
You turn it off.
It was maybe the greatest moment of my sports career.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You guys had a real connection there.
We became one. We became one organism whose only purpose whose only purpose was to bring joy through dance. Joy through dance.
We became one person.
I mean, that show.
Because that was, it's supposed to be funny, like, that he wouldn't like it, and he's playing up that he wouldn't like it. So he's in a Laker girl's outfit, I would take it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the Lakers shirt and, like, the shorts. He's not dressed as a girl, but he's dressed
right,
as
right.
a guy.
But he's dressed, like, and it's, like, too small for him and everything. Yeah. All right, so, like, in what would be, like, he's trying to make it sound like, you know, oh, this is ridiculous and I'm being sarcastic, but it doesn't sound sarcastic.
No. We became one organism whose only purpose was to bring joy through dance.
You don't think he's ever seriously said, our only purpose here today is to create joy through dance. Like, that's like something he's never said. Like, we're supposed to believe, like, James, you silly
joy
goose.
Through dance.
You silly goose. You don't mean that.
Somebody just tweeted, I don't feel so bad about Gronk not being a Patriot anymore.
Listen, they threw a paycheck at Gronk, and he knew he was going to have to go out there with Corden through dance.
We became one organism. Whose only purpose?
Yes, that's right.
Whose only purpose was to bring joy through dance?
You know, he does that for a living. Like, he dances around for a living. I mean, it's not that odd. I mean, he won a Tony. Yeah,
it's kind of in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. That's like Eddie Van Halen. Like, you know, we're gonna play guitar tonight.
Oh,
whoa, no. That's
it's
crazy.
Tough. I don't know if I can pull this off.
Yes. I hope my lovely wife at home enjoyed it.
And I'm not above mid-season, like summer TV. As a matter of fact, I've talked to you about how I do actually enjoy the Holy Moly show. I got no problem with that. There's a show that's on tonight that looks like it might be pretty good called Don't. It's the who's the douchey brother from Step Brothers. He was also on Parks and Recreation. Something. And that's just basically they'll give you money if you don't do what they tell them to do. And one of them is don't look behind you. And there's this gigantic, massive ball that smashes into you.
What?
Face first into the sidewalk.
What do you say? A massive ball.
Yes. Just, yes, Mr. James Corden.
Wait, a ball like a big dance party?
Yes,
with a black tie.
Yes, that's right. You know, and maybe you'll lose your shoe, and someone will find it for you, and you know, all of a sudden,
and then I'll be. Better than the ball.
Yes, James Corden, you might be. But, I mean, a Hole in the Wall is one of the greatest summer replacement shows of all time. I actually enjoy the majority of summer replacement, like, game show television. This show is so loud. it's loud and exhausting, and it never comes down. And it's got Corden's fingerprints all over it, the entire thing. And by the way, Gronk
is one of other things that my fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, I'm sure, like your Tony Award.
And my lovely wife, who I love.
You are a huge fan of your wife. You keep saying that.
Yes.
You don't tell us that. I
mean, she's got boobs and everything.
Women do have that, yes. And yes, I'm sure your wife is no different.
I'm no stranger around a pair of boobs. I got a dumb guy over here and dumb guy over here. I'm between two boobs. Get it?
Yes, I
They're,
get it.
They have on average intelligence.
Yeah, yes, that is true.
I call them boobs.
Yes, you do, James Corden.
All right, what's coming up in the stack, Ridge?
Well, Zion Williamson and Duke have some explaining to do, and surprise, there's some NASCAR fans who shockingly aren't fans of the Confederate flag pan.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
105, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Just an absolute shocker yesterday. I thought it might take a little while, but what?
Well, real quick, John's got a sponsorship.
Oh, okay, yes. Please, John, who are we sponsoring?
As you well know, ladies and gentlemen, the stack is brought to you by my guys at Window Nation. Buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Visit them at windownation.com.
So NASCAR announced yesterday that they would officially ban Confederate flags from all of their sporting events. That is massive. Anyone who has been to one of those races, as I said, it had been 15 years since I've been to one. It was like, I think, 2006. And they're just, I mean, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. They're in the parking lot. They're inside. I mean, there might even be... I was trying to remember with my wife yesterday, because we went to a race and there was before the race, a Mack truck that went around the track at Talladega with a huge flag hanging out the back. And I think one of them was a Confederate flag, but I could be wrong. But I know that they're everywhere. I mean, you just see them, and that's why this is such a big deal. Well, the move comes after driver Bubba Wallace, who is black, suggested earlier this week that the flag should be banned, and NASCAR released this statement, quote, "The presence of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events run contrary to our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all fans, our competitors, and our industry. Bringing people together around a love of racing and the community that it creates is what makes our fans and sport special. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties." And obviously, Bubba Wallace yesterday couldn't have been happier about all this.
Today's been special. Again, hats off to NASCAR. Phelps and I have been in contact a lot, just trying to figure out what steps are next. And that was a huge pivotal moment for the sport. A lot of backlash, but it creates doors and allows the community to come together as one.
Once again,
you're
I mean,
going to see more Confederate flags at the next race. I'm not lying to you.
No, we've talked about, you know, here's what's going to happen, Fred, because they are going to have people who are going to confiscate the flags inside the stadium itself or inside the racetrack. Outside of it, the parking lot, it's going to look like it's just a Confederate flag show. I mean, it's going to be everywhere. On top of that, you're going to get guys who are going to paint the Confederate flag on their skin, and when they get in, they're going to take their shirt off, and it's going to, like, you can't confiscate this, you son of a bitch. You know, it's going to be, they're going to do things like wear clothes underneath jackets with Confederate flags on it. So it's not a flag you can confiscate. You want to get this, then you better wipe the paint off of my big-ass hairy chest that
or
I'm going to
be
show
people with big Confederate flags that the staff doesn't feel like taking away from them. And so there's just, I guarantee you'll never see more Confederate flags at a race. Well, at least you'll be looking for them, but there's going to be a ton.
Well, the one thing that NASCAR has going for it.
Nothing pisses off rednecks more than being told they can't carry around a Confederate flag.
I mean, you're true. It's true. But the one thing NASCAR is going for it is that they're slowly bringing crowds back, which means the next race is only going to have 5,000 people. And those people are probably not the kind that would show up with a gigantic Confederate flag. I think that those people are special and high tickets, and it's not the normal NASCAR fan isn't showing up to that. The other thing too, Fred, that is just as explosive a statement to make for NASCAR is that they changed that going forward. It's going to allow team members to peacefully protest during pre-race ceremonies. And that, the reason that this is such a big deal is there was a specific written guideline that you were to stand with your hand over your heart during the national anthem. So before the Atlanta race, there was a NASCAR official named Kirk Price. He kneeled during the anthem while saluting the flag and said that he was holding his fist up in honor of those who have died, victims of racism and police brutality. He was an active duty U.S. Army veteran. He's been for 3 years. He served in the Army. And Bubba Wallace afterwards said that he wished he had joined him. He had joined him kneeling, wished he saw him, but didn't at the time. Now, what's even better is that Bubba Wallace is going to be driving a Black Lives Matter car. So just think of all those three things together if you are somebody who obviously has been very vocal about how much you love the Confederacy or the Confederate flag. This was a news report that came out right after that story was announced.
At least one driver does disagree with this change. Check this out. NASCAR Truck Series driver Ray Sorelli says that he is leaving at the end of the season because he disagrees with this flag policy. He made that announcement on his Facebook page on Wednesday. That post has since been deleted.
Yeah, okay, so he's kind of disappeared.
Well, somebody got to him like, dude, what's wrong with you?
He's got to get all that truck money. I mean, he can't just throw that out.
What will the truck series do without this man? Like,
the Thursday night before the big NASCAR event.
Think about all the money they're wasting by having this guy step away.
When I think of truck drivers, racers, I mean, this guy comes full to mind.
Is the truck series still the Friday night special? Because it's like the Friday night is the trucks, I think, and then Saturday is the qualifying, and then
it's the double A. It's double A. You know, the qualifying's triple A, and then the major event happens on Sunday, right?
That's all I know is about funny cars. That's my specialty.
So somebody sent this to me, and it is a stereotypical redneck, and it says, he tweeted, NASCAR wants to ban the Confederate flag. I don't think so. So let's listen to this.
So I just seen on Fox News that NASCAR's not going to let their fans fly the Confederate flag at their races no more, and that pisses me off. That flag is history. You need to leave it alone. It's heritage, not hate. It just so happens that my heritage is hate, and I'm like Linus from Charlie Brown, and that treason rag is my security blanket, and I don't feel safe if I can't have it. And how is it a symbol of hate in the first place? Just because it was a flag of a group of people who went to war to fight for their right to keep another group of people as property and treat them as subhuman? I don't think so.
This is fake.
Of course it is.
You're just giving into PC culture, NASCAR. Shame on you.
I hope so.
I can't watch no more football. They're taking the Confederate monuments out of the park by my house that I just learned we had and all of a sudden care deeply about. And then there's you, NASCAR.
Yeah.
You traitors. You Benedict Arnold. You need to leave politics out of it and stop making me question my morals. Unless it's Donald J. Trump driving around the track at the Daytona 500 earlier this year, you need to leave politics out of it. All of you, I wish all these bands would just shut up about politics and play their songs about politics. Stop making me think about stuff.
Yeah.
So today, I'm going to raise my emotional support beer to you, NASCAR, because I'm done.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a comedian, but that's fairly impressive.
Did you say he was like Linus? He was the Confederate flag was a security blanket?
It's security hate rag, I think he called it.
The security hate rag. I just can't imagine, because now it's going to be like, you know, you're infringing on our rights and all this stuff. I just can't imagine caring that much. Like, it just, your whole identity is that dumb flag. And that they, you know, you can't take that away from me. Yes, it's private property. You can it can take that away.
But I mean, obviously, if you've been to a race or you've been anywhere down south where, you know, it's I can't stress what a big deal this is. And I can't stress at what a badass Bubba Wallace is for making. I mean, as I said, you know, that is, he might have come out with one of the most controversial changes to a sport, like just relate in relation to what the audience thinks ever.
Oh yeah, they're gonna hate him. I mean, they're absolutely gonna hate him.
I think he's gonna have a ton of new fans, obviously. And to be quite honest, I had really never heard of him until recently because I don't watch NASCAR that much anymore. But I know he's pretty good. What's that?
Loser.
I know. But I used to go all the time. Talk to me about like Jeff Gordon and Sterling Marlin, all those guys.
Oh, really? My dad bought me a funny car when I was 12. I beat Jeff Gordon, too.
Sure. But good for him, man. I mean, and to be quite honest, it's going to be... It's going to be gross being on the other side of all that, but also he's got to know that that was just a. I mean, that's amazing. And you're right.
He's very brave, but people now know his name and they're going to respect what he did. But the NASCAR fans are absolutely going to hate him. Absolutely going to hate him.
I hope he wins this weekend.
I mean, it'd be a great story.
It would be a great story. Having the Black Lives Matter car win. I mean,
June Knockers is racing.
Now we're going all Malibu Express on us? What are we doing here? Cody Abilene's not in the race this week. He's got crimes to solve on his houseboat.
June Knockers, she drove a race car. in that movie.
We've all
recall.
Of a sudden gotten Andy Sedaris here in the films of it. Guns? You want to go guns on you? I could do that Picasso trigger. My wife had to screen all those movies for TV. Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Truck Tip to Paradise.
Yeah, there's that too. Well, someone who's in a little bit of trouble, this is a court case that I've been kind of keeping an eye on, and I'm waiting for the fallout because it's coming soon. Zion Williamson, he's not really in as much trouble as Duke could be through all this, and Mike Krzyzewski as well, a guy who is made out of Teflon. But it sounds like Zion Williamson, he's been accused of accepting illegal benefits while he was at Duke, and now there's a lawsuit where they're coming out with stone-cold proof that that pretty much happened.
You know why this lawsuit is taking place?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's a company, Fred, that wasn't sanctioned, a PR company that wasn't sanctioned to be a PR company, and Zion signed with them coming out of high school and then reneged on the deal. So the people that knew him coming out of high school and knew him when he first got to Duke have all the dirt on him and said, you're going to screw us out of money? Let's hand this over to the NCAA.
Yeah. Yet Bill Self still coaches, and I can't figure out what he has to do at Kansas to get fired. Bill Self just cheats.
Yeah.
Just and gets caught and cheats some more, and then that's that. But
the NCAA is hunting for things now. I mean, I think it was Oklahoma State that got slapped with sanctions. I think if it's ever going to happen to Duke, it will happen now.
Yeah. Well, you take a look now at the things that they're going to be presenting. As a matter of fact, there was a wiretapped conversation about monies that were being offered to Zion Williamson. On top of that, they're taking a look at – Prime Sports Marketing was the one that got to him. And after he signed his deal, he ended up dropping them and going with CAA, Creative Artists Agency. It's a mega sports talent agency. And so they're like, oh, really? Well, look at all this money we gave you. And now they're proving that pre-Duke – his family was living in an $895 a month rental in South Carolina, but right when he signed to Duke, they moved into a property that was worth almost $1 million with rent that was almost
subtle.
No, not an
overly subtle move by the way, Zion Williamson family.
Fred, just from coming back from Tennessee, North Carolina, probably fairly similar in home values. What does $1 million get you in North Carolina?
A substantial house.
Yeah.
If you're, yeah. Substantial.
A big-ass house.
Yeah, double what it would get you in Newton. Yeah.
Yeah, no question. So they were not subtle at all throughout all of this. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. And he might end up losing a lot of money. I mean, you know, Zion Williamson himself as well, because she may end up getting rights to any of his endorsement deals. And he signed some mega deals. Is he Nike? What was the shoe deal that he got when he came out? But it was just stupid, the one that he had signed. I think it was either Nike or it was...
Kangaroos?
It's the one that blew up. Yeah, it was Nike. Remember? Yeah, because he had his shoe and it ended up ripping open.
It's worth over $75 million.
I mean, come on. And he might end up losing a lot of that and have to give it to this original.
He couldn't wait a year to get his parents a house.
Yep.
On on the level.
Yep.
He had to skip ahead and do that. Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.